You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard all around the world, the globe, Ellen.
All over the globe on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on our Facebook page under Sita Media Inc. And that's also SitaMediaInc.com for our website. And it's amazing that 9 years has gone by, Sita, and we've got so many fantastic archive shows from all of our great friends and community partners and all over the United States of people that you've met on Facebook and people that you've met at different networking events. So we're just so blessed to have such a fantastic group of people and group of community activists that really want to make a difference in the world.
We are, and I like what Paul said. We were talking about people who are sponsoring shows for us and are ongoing sponsors. And Paul once said that keeping community radio alive is very, very important.
Very, very.
Because there are people that still can't afford, to get on the internet. They don't have all the fancy televisions and things that other people have so they can just log right on to the internet and watch TV shows and listen to cable shows and all that. So it's important that we keep our community radio alive. But I just want to tell our listeners and people who are logged on today online, Ellen and I meet here every Monday. I now consider the studio, and it's very clean, by the way.
Yes,
there's no germs
is.
In our studio.
Right.
The studio
We're
is
taking
part
every
of
precaution.
The studio is part of our living rooms. We have gotten to a point where we have a lot of followers on Facebook, Instagram, social media sites that enjoy listening to Ellen and I live or on our podcast on Sita Media Inc. And so we came in today, we washed our hands, our studio is clean, our producer Paul and the people that keep our studio in line, it looks great. I'm not afraid, but we do have to be precautionary about everything we do.
Exactly.
Precautions, right?
Right.
And
so I just want to do the quick public service announcement about washing your hands. Make sure that you wet your hands, soap and water, wash for 20 seconds. But what's the song, Sita? It's either
Happy Birthday
or Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Right, and just wash. And if you're in a public place or even at home, turn it off with your with the paper towel.
Right, or with your elbow or something
elbow
that's not going to take.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I told you, I said to my husband, I said, don't forget to sing the Happy Birthday song. And of course, his hearing deficit kicked in, and he said, "It's not your birthday."
I did see that. That was so funny.
But so today we're doing a show. We actually switched around a couple of our guests because this COVID-19, the coronavirus, everyone is speaking about this. Whether you're a healthcare professional, a layperson, a business owner, all over the news, CNN and all the other cable TV news, that everyone is bringing on a political pundit, and there's a lot of information given out. And I have to tell you, I have respect for Anthony Fauci, 79 years old, that's always on the podium there with President Trump.
Yes.
I like him. I think I trust him. But this morning,
And everybody, Ellen, just needs to be careful about the information, because even the statistics that they're putting out, It varies so much from news stream to news stream. So just understand that there hasn't been a whole lot of testing.
Right.
So we don't know. I mean, we don't know necessarily.
I think you have to assume that everyone has it. Wash your hands.
Exactly.
Social distancing. Stay home. If you're not essential to your job, stay home. Right?
Right. Exactly.
And, this is a time for good leadership. And, good leadership requires that we surround ourselves by people of diverse perspectives who can agree with us And with and if you disagree with them, you shouldn't fear retaliation at all.
Right.
That's what good leadership is, right? Taking advice from people, whether you believe them or not. But advice is a great thing. And people like Anthony Fauci and Dr. Sanjay Gupta, they're on TV and they're talking about things that they have experience in. It's called wisdom and guidance and knowledge. So I think people should listen to the CDC and the experts. And you know, what did our parents teach us? Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Amen. Yep.
Keep everything clean. Exactly. And so this morning as I was walking, I was having like all these phone calls, people who want to put in their questions about to ask our expert when he calls in. And a lot of people are saying that the coronavirus, COVID-19, is sort of giving us a reset button to reset our lives. That's right. And think about what's important. What's important? Family, friends, you know, what you do, where you go, how you spend your money. It's important now. All of a sudden, we're enjoying the home-cooked meals that we didn't have time to cook before. People are cleaning out their closets, their drawers. Their children are home studying. You could give them ideas and tips how to study, how to do their lesson. My daughter is doing a lesson plan for her daughter.
How to manage a checkbook.
Yeah.
In difficult times. I mean, what better life lessons that are going on right now? And just, you know, I don't want to make light of it, but I want everybody to remember, especially here in Florida, we do a lot of this sequestering during hurricane season. And we do it without electricity. So we're really blessed. We've got electricity. We've got water. We've got the internet that's still working. It seems a little taxed lately, but nonetheless, it's still working. And we have a lot of things to be thankful for.
Right. And think of the people, you know, I could do like a million shows today because my mind was racing this morning. I was thinking about the homeless people. When they say shelter in place, they have nowhere to they right. don't have a place. Mm-hmm. When they tell you good hand washing, they don't have running water. So that's another show by itself, and we're going to have to bring on Miriam Moore for that.
That's right.
But today, the second half of the show, our good friend Claire Ellis is going to be calling in on behalf of the Zonta Club of Melbourne, and she's going to talk about the coronavirus and how it's affecting human trafficking and all the other issues that Zonta is working on. You know, they're big on promotion of human rights and helping people in all countries all over the world. So Claire's calling in at 1:35. But Ellen, before that, we're going to have a friend, my husband's friends, a person that he met when he was in medical school, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Tyler Simet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you say Simet or Simet. You should know. You're always good on names.
Simet.
And he's the chief of the clinical education at the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine. I met him when I was in my 20s. Way back at Hallandale Rehab here in Florida. So he's going to call in and talk with us, you and I, and our audience about COVID-19. And he's also going to chat with us about his connection to Florida.
Yeah.
He's going to talk about, he was actually one of the first people to identify people infected with the postal anthrax. You know, that was way back in 2001.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what the public should be doing right now. And a lot of people are fearful. They need a calm, reassuring voice, you know, and he's one of those. And so
it's so good to have people on that have a history of being exposed, not being exposed, but certainly being a part of the change or what happened, because this is not the first pandemic that we've survived or that we will survive
right.
in this country.
The only thing with this one is you don't know who have it.
Right.
Because the signs and symptoms of the disease of COVID-19 manifest itself after.
But there was always something with the other diseases too. There was
right.
always some kind of unsure, you know, you didn't want to go get your mail, for instance, with the anthrax things happen, right?
Challenging,
so there was there's always something that's going to maybe preempt a little bit of fear in all of it. And we are going to make it through this.
Right.
We are totally going to
And for me, a healthcare worker, my number one concern actually is having the protective personal equipment for myself and all the other healthcare workers. And it doesn't matter if you're cleaning the floors to visiting a patient, if you're a physician, all of us have to be protected because when we leave our facilities, we're coming home to our loved ones. And a lot of us have grandparents at home and children at home. And so, we're washing our hands. We're wearing gloves. We're wearing our masks. But the thing is, people have to understand this is a time for states, local, and the federal government to act and make sure that we are protected. No one saw this coming, so you can't blame anybody. But at the same time, it's not kosher to be reusing masks and gloves and things like that. And, you know, a lot of places don't have enough. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of people want to be tested. But, you know, if you're not coughing, if you don't have a fever, if you don't have symptoms of it, leave the equipment for people, the testing for people right. who actually need it.
Exactly.
You know, people are really lashing out in fear. And the other thing, too, that I got a lot of texts and emails about this one, the small businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, people are losing revenue.
Mm-hmm. Just think every restaurant in town, the hospitality industry, is taking the hardest hit here in Brevard County.
Right.
So if you know somebody that's a server or a cook in a restaurant, you can rest assured right now that they've either been told not to come back to work for 7 weeks, or there's something going on, which is going to be detrimental.
Well, the layoffs are surging. It's challenging because a lot of people went in today and they cannot make payroll. They cannot pay their rent. Small businesses are having to decide if to keep their employees or let them go. And I am hoping and praying that all politicians, this is not an issue. It should be a nonpartisan issue. Mm-hmm. Put me in Washington, D.C. I'll tell them.
Exactly.
Everybody need a break.
Yeah.
So send those checks out for people who are hairdressers, people who are, you know, working on lawns.
They say non-essential
roofers,
employees.
You know, the people working in restaurants, the people who are working in hospitality, they're hit pretty
hard. Anybody working outside seems to be not unaffected right now. Like I saw a lot of building and construction still going on. So I don't know that those are as affected as the hospitality industry. But those are the people that are mostly working paycheck to paycheck.
But think about it. If you own a business and you were doing repairs on your home,
right.
And you don't have the customers coming to buy furniture or buy food or buy clothes,
absolutely.
You can't pay the roofer. So you're going to have to go home and say, you know what? Do what you can. Put some tarp on that. Come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the truth is people don't have disposable income right now. You know, I know Paul's shaking his head. You agree with us, Paul. You agree with us.
Yeah, and this is the time now. If you ever asked a restaurant for a charity, for a donation, for any of those kinds of things, now's the time to pay back. And most of the restaurants right now are still doing takeout, so you could certainly do takeout and get a lunch or a dinner or something like that that you would normally maybe not.
Okay.
I'll tell you, it's immediate relief. People need immediate relief, and so I think we have Dr. Tyler Simon on the telephone. Is that him, Paul? Yeah.
Sure.
Tyler, is that you calling in? Yeah, he was supposed to call in by 110. Yeah. All right, so we have more people calling in. Oh my goodness, we need our line, right? We need to keep our line free. But Ellen, no. So this morning, so I've been having conversations with people about small businesses, people who are having to make tough decisions this morning if they're going to keep their doors open. The malls are closing. A lot of the merchants in the mall, they're not having the foot traffic. They close LA Fitness. Sent out an email that if the gym stays closed until the end of the month, next month they're going to give us a break. I see at work, we have to ration our supplies, our mask and a glove and things like that. Hospitals have to be careful because the ICUs, they don't have enough beds. So it's affecting everyone.
Absolutely.
And if you notice what's happening, though, in our communities, people are walking outside. They're spending time with their children. They're cooking. So it has a positive effect on some things, and then it has a negative effect on other things.
Well, and I read that the coronavirus hates the sun.
Does it?
So that I read that somewhere, that it's one of those things that it is a heat-sensitive virus. So when you get outside and you spend maybe your 25 or 30 minutes, I know it's getting kind of warm out, but if you spend 25 or 30 minutes outside, you're certainly gonna defeat some of the potency, if you will.
Well,
of
so
the
are
virus
you trying
itself.
To say that in Trinidad the people are not gonna they're gonna be happy?
I think so. Well, and I thought it was brilliant of what you posted about the homemade mask. Of that woman. I don't know if she was from the islands or not. She was definitely speaking Spanish. But the woman who made the homemade mask out of paper towel?
I saw that.
Yeah, I posted it.
So I'm sending Tyler another message to call us on 6321000, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll call in, but I'm not sure. I believe that was him, Paul. All right, well, okay. We'll see. We can keep talking.
Absolutely.
Lord knows.
We got enough info.
You know what? To be quite honest with you, I get so many texts and emails from people who wants us to do shows on everything under the sun.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them, we need to have people to sponsor the shows.
That's right.
So we are very grateful. Today's show has been sponsored by Dr. Big E and by Deb Bouza.
Well, Dr. it's Paul. by the Zonta Club. The Zonta Club and Deb Bouza, I believe, is the secretary or the treasurer.
So I think we now have our doctor on the phone, Dr. Tyler Simmet. I hope I'm saying it right. He's a DO, Chief of the Clinical Education of the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Hey, Tyler, thank you for calling in.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Was that you earlier who called in?
Yes, it was.
That's what I thought. But thank you, though. We appreciate it. So we're just going to have to hold our ads in the end of this segment so we could give you at least 15 to 20 minutes. Well, welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in Cocoa, Florida. Ellen and I are here and our producer, Paul, and we're very excited to chat with you and hear, give us some updates about COVID-19 and how is it. Actually, tell us, Tyler. What is your, Dr. Tyler Simmet, what is your connection to Florida?
So, first of all, I am a Floridian. I went to medical school at the Kirpan Patel College of Osteopathic Medicine in Davie, Florida, and Florida's home.
See, I love it. I always meet friends all over the place, and God knows I'm very good at keeping our friends. And you and I met so many years ago when we were all so young. I still remember you with your stethoscope and your book in your pocket and... You know, taking care of the residents, always caring, always a lot of compassion. And you know what? One thing I remember about you, Dr. Simmet, I hope I'm saying it right. Is it Simmet or Simmet?
It's Simmet like symmetry.
Simmet like symmetry. I was saying it right. One thing I remember about you is your kindness to the staff, to the nurses, and how well you interacted, not just with the patients, but with us as well, and made us feel as though our jobs were counted as well. So thank you for that. And I think that's why I kept up your friendship, and my husband also said you're a very good speaker and you're a fine physician. So there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And life is with people. You need to value the people you're with. You need to like the people you're with. And that's some of what makes everything we're going through right now so hard.
It does. And so really quick before Ellen jumps in here, I have a question for you. They said that sometimes we don't take the time to say to people, how are you? So I'm going to take a minute to ask you, doctor, tell me, how are you doing? How are you coping with COVID-19 and the coronavirus in your personal life? And what are you doing, in your own surroundings, your environment, and with your family and friends?
So I'm married with an 11-year-old daughter who is now doing school remotely starting Wednesday. We are very happy at home. We're getting ourselves set up. We've got enough projects to keep ourselves busy. But it is a different life than we had 2 weeks ago. And adjusting to change is always hard. One of the things we talk about, Edison, is that with technology, with everything going on, everything we do can be done differently and will be done differently. And we're seeing an example of that right now. We're comfortable with the way we're functioning. We learn to accept it. But we're in a different time, and things are going to be done differently for health reasons, and because we've got tools now that can make things easier and more comfortable to practice, but it's different than we're used to. So I'm good. I'm happy with the change, but I'm also trying to figure out the boundaries of change, what's going to be good and what's not going to be good.
I know. Go ahead, Ellen.
Yeah, so how long do you think before we're being get comfortable being out in public again?
So we know that flu season is typically October to April. We know that coronavirus season is generally from December until May 1st to 15th. This is a novel coronavirus, but there's no reason to expect its course and its season to be different. So I'm not expecting to be out of quarantining, out of working from home until at least May 1st and more likely May 15th.
Wow.
So,
and that affects, like what we were talking about before, that affects all the hospitality industry, that affects so many different people and places and small businesses and so forth. So That's we need to start building those resources too, right, right. Sita?
Yes. So, so Tyler, Dr. Tyler Semet, I hope I'm saying it right again, Alan. So
no, you're doing good.
So here's the thing. So we're here in Florida, and we're noticing, you know, we have all the governors all over all the states. Everybody have advice. They're giving advice. We have Dr. Anthony Fauci as well, Sanjay Gupta. Everybody is hearing different things, and certain people are taking it in and some people are not. We all watched in horror this past week where all these people were congregating on the beach. People still open the churches. People are still doing things. What do we say to those people to get them? We can't shake them, but what do we say to them to get them to understand that this virus is not a joke?
Well, let's start with understanding that all disasters are local. A disaster is when you don't have the resources to meet your needs. We're seeing 50 different disasters play out in each state. We don't have a national plan or a national way of dealing with it. So you're seeing New York and Washington State as the two states with the largest numbers and the most need for resources. We're going to see it spread to New Jersey. We're going to see Georgia. We're going to see other states in a rolling fashion. People need to pay attention to what's going on, because what happens in other states will happen in your state. And you see what happened in Italy, what happened in Iran, what happened in China, what's happening in Germany, what's happening in Spain. It's going to happen here too. We can pay attention to it, or we can ignore it and then see what happened there happened here. In Italy, we're seeing 40,000 people with coronavirus. We're seeing a death rate of about 9%. We're seeing 10% of all the victims of that being healthcare providers who are not protected. So if we don't do something, it's going to happen here too.
Yeah, and you know what I don't understand is why some people are saying, well, it won't affect the young people. But of lately, we're watching the news and we're hearing of people in their 40s in ICU fighting for their life. Can you just go through some of the signs and symptoms of COVID-19 so that our friends who are listening on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends can actually pay attention? And if they feel as though they've got these signs and symptoms, what should they be doing?
So the signs and symptoms are pretty varied. Most people will have a fever above 100.4. About a third of people will have a dry cough. Some people will have diarrhea. If you feel miserable and you're sick, that's when we know something might be going on. At this point, we're telling people who are sick to self-quarantine and to stay away from other people, really to stop the spread. Because if you come to the hospital and you get tested, you'll know that you can spread it and you'll know that you're infected. But the treatment is really supportive. It's keeping people comfortable, keeping people hydrated, and preventing them from getting worse. So the first and most important thing is to start from a diagnosis. If you have symptoms that could be a viral illness, including COVID-19, then you should separate yourself and be safe.
And for the people who are saying, well, I can just wake up and I can just go visit my friends, they really should not be visiting their friends if they're bored, correct?
They should not, because spread takes a while. Once you get exposed, you may not have any symptoms for 2 to 5 days, but you can still spread it for those 2 to 5 days. And we've said that it might be up to 14 days where it could be spread, even though most people will show signs sooner.
Yeah. So I think they're playing with fire if they think they could go to a bar, they can go to the beach, they can go hang out with their friends. It's almost like a lot of people feel like it's not going to happen to me.
And also to address the point of who's getting sick, we know that people who smoke are going to have a worse course and probably need hospitalization. People who vape also may have a worse outcome. While it doesn't affect young people as much, it's only 6% of people under 12 years of age who are being hospitalized in an Italian study. When you talk about something having a 1% mortality rate, you've got a 1% chance of dying. That's a real number. 1% is a heck of a lot when you're talking about dying. And when you're talking about a school, if you're going to look at each school having 5 or 6 people dying, that's real. So even though we can predict who's at greater risk, everybody is at some risk.
Right, and the virus needs a host to keep going, doesn't it? And so once it spreads from one to the next, that person just becomes a host, and so they will host the virus until the virus says, oh, I'm going to go to somebody else.
Well, I'm going to share some scary information, which is when you have a pandemic, if it has a reservoir in a community, it's going to be more than 1 year. It'll be 2 or 3 years where you have the six-month season of infectivity. Right now, we're not sure who the host is, whether it's bats, rats, birds, pangolins, or something else. What animals can preserve the virus in your community? So we're watching what the natural history is going to become and how we prepare for that.
So for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we are speaking with Dr. Tyler Simmet. He is calling in. Are you calling in from Maryland?
I'm calling in from Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah.
Coming from home.
I told Ellen you were calling in from Maryland. And Ellen, we're very blessed that we have such a friend that can call in. He is he's a DO, like my husband. Yeah, yeah, for DOs. He's the Chief of Clinical Education for the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine. And he's taking the time to call in and chat with us about the coronavirus and COVID-19.
So I think, and one of the things that I read this morning, I think we're in better shape in Florida because of the heat than probably you guys are in Maryland and New York. Is that true?
We do think that heat can be somewhat protective and that's part of the seasonality of it. But not completely protective.
Oh.
And actually, while Florida may be better for the virus in the long term, Florida, with this large number of elderly people and people with other medical conditions, does have a population that's at greater risk. Well, we talked about Italy having the issue with SARS and China having the issue with the live markets. Right. We are looking at nursing homes as a serious issue that needs to be addressed, because having large number of people congregated in small areas can really lead to rapid spread.
Yeah,
and nursing homes are something we have to watch.
Yeah, I work in a skilled rehab and nursing facility 4 days a week, and that is on our minds. I mean, they're checking our temperature every morning. We're all trying to do our best to wear gloves and mask and whatnot. But you're right, it is a concern. So you were one of the first people to identify people infected with the postal anthrax. How is the current crisis like this one? Give us a little, talk to us about how does it differ with the postal anthrax attack of 2001?
Well, thank you. I think that's a good question, because people like doing the same thing over and over again. When something new comes up, people try and just massage the edges and don't radically change what they're doing. In anthrax, when we saw people dying, we said, well, maybe we don't know what's going on. It was when the anthrax victims got sick and didn't die that we had to address issues and think differently. And once we learned about anthrax, things were done radically different, radiating the mail, moving people out of the Heart Senate office building. Once we had time to sit back and realize what was going on, we modified what we were doing. Right now, when we're seeing COVID-19, people are saying, well, maybe I'll wear a mask now and then. Maybe I'll socially distance myself for a few hours. But this is something that needs radical change. It needs a completely different way of functioning until we get a better sense of how we can get this under control. So just like in anthrax, it wasn't for 6-8 months until we started looking at the residual effects and whether the anthrax had more chronic issues. We haven't gotten there with COVID-19 yet. We don't know what's going to happen 2 months, 6 months, or a year down the line. But we do need to think that way. So this is a disaster. This is a pandemic. And it is going to lead to different ways of doing things, which is going to require us to take a step back and look at what we are doing and how we might be spreading disease and doing things differently in the future.
So while all of us are trying to maintain some sort of normalcy with our lives, a lot of people are concerned about, is there going to be a cure? They're hearing that, certain people are saying to take the malaria drugs. Some people are saying they're working on a vaccine. What do you see in the future for this virus, this COVID-19? What do you think is going to happen?
So viral illnesses tend to attenuate over time. The first person who gets a virus gets it in the worst case, and they get the most serious and severe symptoms. And it tends to get milder each time they transmit it past their initial circle. I think we're going to have two or three very bad years of the virus. During that time, we will be treating the people at high risk. There are a lot of things that may work, but we're not sure if they do. And in medicine, the first thing we do is test drugs for safety. Then we look at doses. Then we look at whether or not it's effective. We're not there yet. People are trying things that may or may not be effective, but we haven't gotten to the point of understanding what is going to work. So I think keep an open mind. People should not be running to the pharmacy looking for mefloquine or chloroquine or any of the antimalarials. We do know that the virus gets into the respiratory system through an ACE2 pathway. The receptor that brings it in is an ACE2. They're looking at whether ACE inhibitors might work. We're looking at antivirals. But we need to study it first. Vaccines may be available, but we're not at the point of having good treatments yet.
So tell us how there were other viruses like the SARS, the COVID-2, and since you named the disease you sent me something I can't say the word Rondeau-Simmet syndrome.
Rondeau-Simmet syndrome, yes.
Right, and how should this be named? Is it appropriate to call this flu the Chinese flu? Because personally, I don't think it should be called the Chinese flu. I feel like it's, I don't know. I just don't feel right using a country or people. It's kind of like discrimination in my mind. What do you think?
It is not called the Chinese flu. It is called SARS-CoV-2, which causes COVID-19. It's important to be accurate, it's important to be consistent, and it's important to have names that everybody understands. Because what if somebody decides that they want to call something else the Chinese flu, or something that happened before is the Chinese? It's not. And if people use the wrong name, they should be corrected. Otherwise, you're not being fair, and you're really impeding progress by using confusing terminology, misleading terminology, and terminology that may change. Consistency is important, organization is important, and we name things based on what they're similar to. We know we have four coronaviruses out there we've been dealing with for years that are pretty common. We know we've got three uncommon coronaviruses. Why would we name this differently than its seven related viral pathogens? It fits within the organization we have. And we need to stick with an organization that makes sense. So it's important to be accurate, and I think the inaccuracy is just confusing and making things more complicated.
Right. And if someone wants to get further information about the American Osteopathic Association or what you do for AOA and all that, is there a website that they can go on? Because we have 30 seconds left. I'd like to thank you for calling in and give us the website where we can find you, we can get more information, and keep up with what's going on with the COVID virus and how we should all be looking at faster quarantining people who are sick and try to prevent this virus. So just give us a website.
Thank you. Go to www.aacom.org. There's the coronavirus resource page that has links to articles and useful information that you can have. So thank you for having me. Good talking with you again, and wish you the best.
Thank you
so much for sharing with us.
He's awesome.
Wow, that was great.
I know, he's awesome.
That was great.
And I think we're going to have one ad. We'll just run a Cloud9 ad for now, and then we'll go to Claire Ellis.
There we go.
And take a deep breath.
Right in. Yeah.
With Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we're very relaxed in the studio today.
This is great.
It's great because it's just
Ellen. I mean, not that I don't love people being here, but I love it being me.
But it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like we're just having a conversation.
Got our feet
friends
up.
Our friends are going to call in. Ellen's got her feet up and everybody's happy in the studio. And so that was a really nice segment with our friend Tyler Simmet.
Yes.
Symmetry.
Yeah,
that's
Dr.
very
easy.
Dr. Simmet, yeah. And that was nice that he took the time to call in on our show too, you know, because he's a very busy guy. He just got out of a meeting. And so our second segment, you know, every time I talk with Claire Ellis and I think about the Zonta Club, I think about all that they're doing to help so many people, not just here in Brevard, but all over the world. And I wanted Claire to call in, and she said that she wanted to call in today and talk a little bit about how the human trafficking is being affected, the victims. And so I think she's on the phone, and we're going to talk to her. And she's representing the Zonta Club. She's always great when she comes into the studio. She looks really good, but she just told me that she's over 70, and I don't believe it.
I know. She should be. She's totally lying about your age.
I don't believe it, Claire.
So, I think you have a fake ID.
Oh,
hey,
thank you.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for calling in. So tell us a little bit about yourself and the Zonta Club.
Oh, thank you so much, Sita. We appreciate you bringing us on and sharing our message. Zonta Club of Melbourne, along with Zonta International, is all about improving the lives of women and girls. And we do that through education, we advocate, we empower, and we have so many local projects going on and scholarships and international projects. And I did want to mention, when we were now with all the virus and what's happening, I came across some information from Shared Hope International. And what they said could be happening now with all the youth that is out of school. First of all, they will try to entrap more vulnerable youth by making false promises to them. And the other big thing is the computer and all the children at home now that are on all their devices, on the internet, gaming. And so the parents need to be more vigilant with how the computers are being used, where they are. They're suggesting keep them in a central location and try to maybe do a project with the children together, because during this time, those that are looking for entrapping more of our youth, what's happening is a lot of these porn sites are offering free viewing of their content. And what
and the children
know,
click, yeah, they, and if you click on it, that's it.
Yes, and they know now that these children are out of school, and the porn searches skyrocket by, they said, they gave the statistics, 4,700% when the kids are out of school. And so that's a big vigilant right now for parents to stay on top of what's going on.
So they have to pay attention.
I like the idea
that to put the computer in a location where both parents can see it. But, you know, Zonta has supported projects in over 67 countries.
Yes.
You guys provide scholarships and awards to women around the globe, and you're a powerful advocate for change. But I know that right now a lot of us are concerned about domestic violence and people being abused because the stress levels are high and people are home, and in lay terms, they're going to be getting on each other's nerves. So what can we do to help potential victims, or if someone is already abused, what can we say? What can we do?
Well, we always say the most important thing is hopefully they're able to call for help. That's always the number one thing. We can also advocate, hopefully, that we check on each other, that what's going on next door to us, what we're hearing, what's happening. There's a little video that I looked at that was really shocking to me, but when I understood what it was saying, you have a couple eating dinner, and they're hearing next door a big argument that looks like it's getting out of control and it's getting very ugly. So the husband, the couple that's listening, he grabs a baseball bat, goes next door, knocks on the door. The man opens the door, and he hands him the bat. And you know what that means? If we hear something and we don't do anything, it's like we're helping. We might as well help. So I think the most important thing right now is for us to be checking on each other, see what's going on, and not turning a deaf ear.
Well, and you know, Ellen, one of the nice things about Zonta is they're not just getting involved now because it's the coronavirus.
Right.
They
right.
have always been involved trying to improve the legal, political, economic, educational, health, and professional status of women all over mm-hmm. the world by doing so many things and helping us to understand that this world is not just about us here in Brevard or in the United States. It's about all over the world. Internationally,
yes.
Zonta promotes justice and universal respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms as well. And Claire, you have opened our eyes here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to so much, because there were so many times that you guys have been on, you've talked about what happens with human trafficking, the task force, and you also made us aware of what happens at the Super Bowl and why we
yes.
should care. So tell our listeners again about that.
Yes, I'd like to tell you about a project that the Space Coast Human Trafficking Task Force, of which Zonta is a member and the financial arm, I spearheaded a project on Human Trafficking and Awareness Day, which was January 11th, and that was to have all the members of the task force to go up and down the exits on 95 in Brevard County to the convenience stores, the gas stations, the fast food places, and we had stickers from an organization called In Our Backyard that promotes putting these stickers in these places where the traffickers may stop for gas and snacks and so on. And so they provided the stickers that they wanted to be placed on the inside of the bathroom stalls in as many places as we could, but we had to have a signature permission to do so. And I am so excited to say that we were able to put stickers, 89 total stickers, in these places off of 95. And we hope that somehow that helped someone, because at the Super Bowl itself, they were looking for 36 missing children, and they found 21.
Wow.
So I hope that some good came from that. I know that it will be seen by many stopping at those facilities, and I'm real thankful that we were able to do that project.
And I'm glad you're bringing that topic up about the children, because right now with so many parents who have to return to work, whether there's a coronavirus or not, some people have to go to work. We must show up, especially in the healthcare profession. And a lot of folks are going to be leaving their children at home to do online learning. And then you have these monsters who are waiting for the children
yes.
to get online. So What else can we do to warn parents that, I mean, people have to pay their bills. We all know that they have to pay mortgage and rent and put food on the table. But what can we do to help folks who have children at home?
Well, this is a very unusual and unprecedented situation, and children normally are not left alone. And what's even sadder, grandparents can't be babysitting the children. I'm going to have to say, I guess we're going to have to depend on the older children to school them, to talk to them. If the teenagers that are at home that are going to have to care for the younger ones and be very frank with telling them what could be happening and how to prevent against it. I mean, I can't tell you I have the answer to that.
Yeah, well, and here's well, you're so right, because, I mean, a lot of in many cases, we have extended families that live in the same home, and
yes.
But now they're saying the grandparents have to be protected who were taking
yes.
care of the children before.
Yes.
And
yes.
if the parents have to, I mean, a lot of people are being threatened that if they don't return to work, they can lose their jobs. I mean, we're living in times when we really have to go back to that phrase when we said it takes a village. Everyone
yes.
need to be looking. If you're home and you could look out for your neighbor's children, if they're playing in the yard, make sure no one is coming into that yard. If they're riding their bicycles, make sure you don't, you know, if you see something, say something, I would say
exactly,
at this point, right?
Exactly,
right.
That's it right there. We all have to be on the lookout for each other during this time. We can't, I know social distancing is necessary, but like you say, looking out the window, seeing what's happening, look in the backyard, what is going on, and we all have to keep an eye on each other.
Right, and I think, you know, we're all watching to see what happened with this virus. All of us are praying for a cure. We do know that we have small businesses that are worried about paying their bills. We have hairdressers, and like Ellen was saying, people in the hospitality business, they're all struggling as well. So I think this is a time for us to come together and look up organizations like the Zonta Club. And when all this dies down, how can people get involved so they can do more and help you and what you're doing to help people? Well, give us the website that people can come on.
Yes, yes, ZontaSpaceCoast.org. Of course, all our meetings right now are canceled, and as information becomes available, it will be on our website. We have our next major event. We were so thankful that we had the Chocolate Festival on March 1st, and we're able to have such a successful Chocolate Festival, and I want to announce again the three winners. First place was Yellow Dog, and Stuart has been a supporter of us since the start of the Chocolate Festival 16 years ago, and I was so excited that the Melhi Culinary Arts was second, and Matt's Casbah was third. And the fact that Melhi Culinary Arts was second, I want to thank our Zonta member, Michelle Parent, who is sponsor of our Zonta Z Club at Melhi, who has brought such information about human trafficking to the students, and was able to bring speakers and a survivor and Sheriff Ivy so that the students themselves, the young people, are getting the messages through the schools. And in the morning, there were 30-second spots that all about human trafficking that went out to all the schools, and so that's so important.
Right, and it's important that once we educate people and they're aware of it, they should act on it and be vigilant. So we just want to tell all listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with Claire Ellis. She's a good friend of ours, and she is she's talking with us on behalf of the Zonta Club of Melbourne, which she is the co-vice chair. So, Claire, you know, we all do a lot of reading. I know you and me and Ellen and all our friends, I'm a readaholic. I enjoy reading. And I couldn't help but noticing on that they said that one in every three women have been beaten or abused in some way, whether sexually or other ways. And one in four have been abused during pregnancy. The Zonta Club right here in COCO, the Salvation Army, you guys are doing a lot with domestic violence right here in COCO, Florida, at the Salvation Army. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we just sponsored their major event that they had, the 5K. And we also made, we all got together and we made little kits to be given to those coming into the shelter that had lots of things that they may need, because they're leaving with nothing, and they're coming there, and just the little things that you take for granted that you have, little cosmetic things, sanitary things, all the little things that you can't have with you. So we made quite a few packets, and they're all going to be given out there to the women coming in. And we had Cindy Mitchell, the head of the shelter, come and speak to us about all the things that they do to try to help the women and children there. So we're going to continue supporting them in any way they want us to help, financially and any other way that we can. And yeah, we're always speaking out about violence and about strangulation, too, which is a part of that.
Yeah.
What the women don't know, how many symptoms they can have from that, that they don't relate to being strangled, and how dangerous that is.
Right. And, you know, one of the things, too, that I was talking to a friend of mine this morning when I was telling her what the show was going to be about. She said, you know, what I like about Zonta International is they also try to stop child brides in 12 countries. And when we talked a little bit about the Florida marriage law as well, and you guys are such great advocates for women and children and just people in general. So tell us a little bit about what is the new Florida marriage law?
Yes, the new Florida marriage law is one of the toughest in the country, and it happened because a woman that was a child bride in Florida went and talked to the legislature, and they were impacted, impressed, and the new law, we wanted the law to just say 18, period, with no exceptions, but the law has one exception. And it is this: the judge can intervene, and a girl can be married at 17, but she cannot marry a man any older than 19. So it cuts out the young girl marrying the older man.
Yeah, we had that lady on our show. She called in. I'm trying to remember her name, Ellen, but she called in and she spoke about going to Tallahassee, not once, but a few times, right, and speaking to the legislature, and they did change that law. Yeah. Her name will come to me in a minute. We've had so many guests on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. It's very difficult to remember all the names, but thank you for bringing that to our attention.
And we're in the world, we're helping 12 countries to end child marriage through UNICEF. Everything that we can do to educate the people, the children, the girls, keep them in school. That's the most important thing, keeping them in school and not making them child brides. And so we're trying to educate families, the girls themselves, the government, everybody, to work together to try to improve the situation. And, of course, it means that usually when the girls start their menstrual cycle, that means, okay, now they're dropping out of school and they're ready to get married and have children. And we're trying to change hearts and minds, and how important it is for education and the girls to be in school and not married. And to do that, we're also building different hygiene latrines. So
yeah, I read that you guys were doing that in Madagascar. To build separate latrines so that they can stay in school.
So the girls can go to school and not have to worry. That's just a huge thing in many, many of the underdeveloped countries. So,
well, you know, it's a cultural thing as well, because, I mean, the girls are so ashamed. It's such a stigma attached to when you get your period and you have to use the same area that the boys and the men are using. So I'm very grateful that you all are doing that. But at the same time, you know, right now with COVID-19 and everyone talking about, you know, to socially distance ourselves physically and wash our hands and, you know, do what we can to prevent germs, the spread of germs. There's so many countries all over the world that people don't have running water. They don't have soap. They don't have any ways of having proper hygiene. And this goes on 365 days a year, not just around COVID-19 or the coronavirus time. What do you say to people that don't understand what Zonta is doing to help all these people and why they should be supporting Zonta International and Zonta Club of Melbourne?
They should be supporting us because what we're doing is trying to bring women to an even with men, gender equality. And the only way to do that is through education, obviously through scholarships, which we give so many and we believe so strongly in. And we're all volunteers. Nobody's paid. Come and join us locally, and we're having the international convention. Hopefully it has not been, as far as I know, it's still on July 4th through 8th in Chicago, where people from all over the world, members, are going to attend to see what our focus is going to be for the next biennium. Are we going to keep these projects? Are there other things that are more of a concern as well as these? What are we going to change? And scholarships. That's the main thing with us is scholarships, as many scholarships as we can give. They give internationally. We give 30 $10,000 fellowships to women going after their PhDs in aerospace science and engineering. We're trying to bring the women up technologically to be even with the men, and that's very important in today's world. And we're adding a local scholarship, too, a STEM scholarship that we're giving locally with the Zonta Club of Melbourne along with our other scholarships.
Right, so. And we have just a minute left, and I just want to say, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that less than 17% of women occupy national, state, and local and elective positions. So Zonta International encourages women through education, yes, and awareness to get involved, not just in child raising and educational things, but also in political elective positions as well. So Ellen, I'll let you take it away from there and let Claire just give us the website one more time for Zonta of Melbourne.
ZontaSpaceCoast.org.
And we've already posted that on our Facebook page. And as always, Claire, it's always great to have you on the show.
Deb Buzza.
And thank you to Deb Buzza, who is the treasurer for the Zonta Club. And thank you, yes, for supporting the show year after year, month after month. And we'd love to send out your messages. And thank you, Dr. Tyler Simmet, for sharing so much of our information. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll see you next week, everybody. Stay safe.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm.